Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports with a Z. Adrian Hernandez and Lindsey Brown. The Playmakers. Exclusively on 1140 The Bet.
Getting to an early drop, and that's exactly what the Golden Knights did last night, Adrian. We actually saw some goals come our way.
What?
It happened. It is possible. We can confirm. You know how many power play goals they scored last night, Adrian?
I know they had at least one because you were hyped on the Twitter.
I'll be 3 out of 5.
Ooh.
3 out of 5 attempts.
And that's 60%.
Absolutely. And that's a great percentage considering that we have scored 0 goals before last night, at least in the last 2 contests. But this team needed a win in a bad way last night. And to see early on Janmark finish off a good scrum in front and get a rebound pass, then Nick Waugh kind of taking a heads-up spinorama shot on a broken play and saying it far side and beating UC Saros, who was definitely not at his best game last night. I mean, Vegas just looked like the better team in the first period. They were attacking the slot really well, the quiet space in the slot, so they weren't like getting too close to the crease where the rebounds would pop past you, and they weren't getting too far outside of it where Predators could get in the lanes and block it down, and they were able to draw Nashville skaters to the puck carrier before dishing. Like, all these like little nuanced things are the things that add up between, is this pass going to get from my stick to my teammates without interruption? Because the Golden Knights, we know, haven't been playing with a lot of confidence. And for the Nashville Predators to play as physical of a game they do, I think it was really impressive to Vegas's side to really get on them early, so it causes Nashville to go more on the snarly side of the physicality rather than what I was kind of dubbing it as emotionally invested versus emotionally activated. And so they were spending a lot of time in the box, and we also had a really scary hit on Brett Howden. He ran into Philip Forsberg, or Philip Forsberg ran into him in a bad part of the ice where if it's, you know, 5 feet more towards the middle, Adrian, Howden just slides on by and nothing happens, but it happens in proximity to the boards. And I think that has something to do with just the way that Nashville, like I said, noted how they go for checks. They give you a little bit more room to breathe because they want to hit you with the full force. They want to get you with a little bit of a gap. Now, I don't think what that particular hit was classifies under that. That was just a straight up accident. It was really scary. Howden was motionless for a while. They had to bring out the backboard. I do have an update. Nothing is broken. He was at the facility this morning. He's going to be out for a little bit. He's sore, but considering that was one of the tougher hockey hits that I've seen in person, and so I was really nervous for him, and it took a long time for them to get him off the ice, but that happened with like 2 minutes left in the first period, and I guess the refs even posed to Pete DeBoer if they wanted to go back to the locker room just for a sec to kind of collect themselves. And they're like, we want to play for him. And that's
because
that's
the
way
they
did.
Because that was so emotional and disturbing.
Yeah, and you had to like they were all standing there for like 5 minutes. And so there's the emotional part of it, and then there's the physical part of it, and just like allowing, like you said, yourself to reset. But not getting knocked back early and swimming through traffic was something that this team was doing. And then we had another great performance from Logan Thompson, who I think has done more than enough to show that he's ready to play at this level. And so I anticipate in this offseason that the Golden Knights will probably move on from Laurent Brossoit, no fault of his own. They don't sign Logan Thompson to an extension with the intention to let him go. Like, they've invested in this kid. This guy plays with an attitude. He plays with a lot of fire. He challenges pucks really well. A little bit more extreme, you can say. And with that comes different drawbacks, like those posts that he like that are a little bit more troublesome. And sometimes he can get a little bit too far outside of himself. But last night, it was a perfect type of personality for the performance. And he was just really settled in. His skate his weight was distributed correctly. He wasn't falling back as much unless he needed to make a desperation save. And it's easy to kind of get discombobulated throughout your entire body playing the style that he does. But he springs into space really well. And I thought that he was an excellent emotional barometer for that team last night. And you could tell that when he made a couple of big saves that the guys in front of him were very, very happy that they had somebody do that for him. There's just not a lot of good things to write home about right now, but last night there was just multiple examples. You had a couple of great looks, including a goal from Jack Eichel, who looks more and more confident every game. We saw, I know this is my favorite goal of the season because I was clapping in the press box after it happened. I was so happy for when Evgeny Dodonov scored a goal last night. And it was just kind of a textbook thing. It's the first power play goal of the bit. It's like on the third chance rebound on the power play in front. And he even had a couple of other chances after that fact. But just for the week that he went through, and he spoke to the media after the game too, and it seemed like he tried to remain as calm as possible. He was really confident in his contract, obviously, since the ruling is made and ruled in his favor. But I just looked at him like a big FU energy right there. And I love it. And it galvanized the team a little bit, too.
How was the crowd?
Great. They received him super well. It was probably one of the loudest goal celebrations I've heard in a hot minute in that building. But we're still booing refs for making calls on William Carrier while he was standing on the bench, decided it would be a good idea to grab the head of a Nashville Predator who was skating by said bench. And everybody's like, how could you call a penalty on this? I'm like, this is a penalty, even when you're up 4-1. But as I mentioned, Nashville got a little bit too snarly last night, and so they paid a lot of pricing in terms of their trips to the penalty box and just didn't put their goaltender in the best position to succeed. But again, a very much welcome sight for your Golden Knights that have struggled on so many levels, and it keeps them in that hunt for playoffs, technically, and it's going to have to be a hell of a run for them to go on down the stretch here. But what do I say about the gym every night to you, Adrian, or the day after you go to the gym? One day at a time, one in a row. And to see the power play get the amount of production last night has to be very enthusing as well.
And it's like every time they play a good team, they show up, like yep. I said yesterday. And
it was at
look
home.
What happened.
And yeah. It was at home. But yeah, I really think that I don't know what Leonard's situation is, but I think you give as many games as possible to Logan Thompson down this stretch because it's all just experience. He's clearly vibing, and it's going to serve you well going into next year because this kid is ready to go, and it offers a much different look goaltender-wise in contrast to Leonard. Now, you could say, well, that's what we had with one Mr. Fleury. I'd say that's true, and you could say that LB still plays a little bit different than Leonard, but neither of them have the like Barb personality that Thompson has out there on the ice. Like, you can tell there's palpable energy in just the way that he even stands up from his saves and flips the puck to the ref. Like, there's a tude there. There's a swagger there, and that has to be tended to. That can be absolutely snuffed out in bad situations, but he's in a battle bot mode and this team is fighting for him. And it makes sense because there's a lot of his Silver Knights teammates out there in front of him, too. So there's a lot of shared history there. And even if down the stretch the Golden Knights find themselves on the outside looking in, it is very much a positive future on the horizon, especially with one Mr. Thompson in the nets. We have to move on with our time, per usual. We got to talk about Derek Carr and a hole-in-one that he hit, I guess. 11:40 the bet.
Hear me, no one sees me, no one. Hear me, no one sees me, no one. I'm off the radar.
Adrian Hernandez and Lindsey Brown, the Playmakers, exclusively on 1140 The Bet.
I still can't get over that earlier in the show I said that I don't like attention. I mean, it's true, but it's like really outlandish. Whenever I hear this song, it's like one of those songs with a message like, no one hears me, sees me, whatever. And I'm just like, Lindsey, you can't really say that anymore.
Lindsey, I was going to let you ride.
I know, I'm not like trying to flex on it, but it's just like, you know, there's a natural progression that some of the stuff doesn't connect to you, or maybe it's some connecting tissue that has always been there, except it's no longer. And now you have to kind of figure out, am I still who I think I am? And are we still who we think we are?
Or sometimes you just got to accept that that's okay too.
That's true. That's true. I mean, if we're talking about like accepting yourself, if we're talking about like, you know, self-esteem, absolutely. We're talking about the sports though. If we're talking about results though, that's different. That is a different type of self-reflectory period. And if the Golden Knights aren't going through one right now, especially with the news coming out earlier today that Max Pacioretty has had a setback, is out indefinitely.
Jeez.
I don't know when the time is going to be. But I'm starting to get a little bit worried, Adrian, about the window of opportunity for this team. And they have done everything plus to put themselves in the best position, at least talent-wise, to achieve their goal of the Stanley Cup. But there's plenty of teams that do their best to do that every year. But sometimes, for one reason or another, it gets derailed. And we know that injuries are the big thing that has derailed this season for the Golden Knights. But honestly, do we think that we're going to get everybody back at full strength, like, ever? Because we got to remember how old these guys are. And again, I'm not here to be ageist. I'm not here to say, you know, once you get to 34, you're over the hill. But we all know that not everybody can be Jeff Carter. Like, Jeff Carter is playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins in a second renaissance of his career after he had his first initial renaissance with the LA Kings because of his skating motion, because of how smooth it is, because of how little wear and tear it puts on his body. I would not say the same thing about very many skaters on the Golden Knights that possess that type of gift, of that smoothness, that efficiency. I'm really worried about Max Pacioretty, about Mark Stone, and about Alec Martinez and their long-term health for different reasons and different alarm bells too. But the person I'm worried about most right now is Max Pacioretty. Because this is a guy who is a very specific type of player. He's a goal scorer. He's a sniper. He's one of the best shots in the league. When he's practicing, he gets out there early every day and shoots it from, takes one timers from the same spot, that wrister. We're going to walk off the wall. We're going to be in that circle. And it's great. He's one of the best scorers that we have, and as I said, in this league. I'm not sure what's injured for him right now because the team has chosen not to give us any sort of semblance of that truth. But based off of what I know through my bodily awareness as a hockey player and just how I kind of visualize things, because that's how my brain works, like this is about that finely tuned machine that has not only a weakness in it, has a deficiency. And every time you try to come back, you're using other stuff to compensate. I mean, we talked about this with Trista the other day about in the yeah. NBA terms. But with him and the way that he plays, how long he's played, the minutes that he's had to play, I'm really worried about, like, are we ever going to get him for more than a 10-game stretch? I mean, even that seems like a big ask right now, because it is. And we're not sure. Like I said, it could be wrist, it could be legs, it could be hips. Regardless, the way that skating is, the skating is not a natural motion for the human body. Neither is taking one-timers, and neither is putting the amount of torque that these guys have to get the puck moving at damn near 100 miles an hour. That's why I'm worried about Max. With Mark, I'm worried about Mark Stone because he is not the person I think about in terms of smooth skating at all. He's a guy that has made his living by having a vision unlike anybody else, by having unbelievable hands, and by playing with a really, really big stick and being a great leader and a hard worker. a consummate hockey player. I would want kids to watch him if I'm thinking about, like, what type of spirit do you want to embody when it comes to how they play? But he skates very upright when he is out there. And he's dealing with a back injury. Mark Stone also goes to the front of the net a lot. He plays a lot of hard mitts. He doesn't shy away from contact. He doesn't shy away from the areas in which people use their stick as their main weapon for contact. Max Pacioretty doesn't really do that. Max Pacioretty scores on the rush, and so does Mark Stone. But Mark Stone is willing to go get teed off upon in front of the net. And so I get worried about the cross checks. I get worried about just mobility and what the full scope of that is going to be. Because as someone who's had ribs pop out, as somebody who has back problems, as somebody who has tight hips, that equates to tight back. Like, this is all interconnected.
100%.
And he is a guy that relies a lot on his ability to stay upright. And so I'm not as worried about him as Max, but Mark, because he's not as gifted talent-wise, it could be a tougher recovery, and it could be a smaller gap than it was before. And then Alec Martinez, who, besides the hit on Brett Howden that I saw him take last night, has the most glaring memory seared into my brain earlier this season when he was kicked in the face by Duhame from the Minnesota Wild. Complete accident. Concussion, facial nerve. He's been on the ice. He's been off. If there's been this much inconsistency, if there's this much backing off when a guy has played for two Stanley Cups, knows what is at stake here, I think they're really worried about his career. I honestly do. And if you got kicked in the face, hell yeah. There are bigger things to, like, he's lucky to have an eye. He truly is. And Brett Howden's lucky to be up walking around. He could have died. So could have Alec Martinez. I've seen people get their throats cut out there at college games. Like, that's the scary part about all sports, but, like, specifically with hockey, is just, like, there's not just the big-time collision injuries that can happen. Just freak accident stuff happens all the freaking time.
You're running on swords.
Yes, literally, you're boots with knives. That's what my might coach told us day one. And what that does, obviously, to the rest of the team, but you just think about how these guys, if they can't go, if they're done, if Alex Martinez is done, like, how big of a hole that leaves in the roster, and then what kind of salary cap implications these have. And obviously I'm focusing on this from a hockey standpoint, not a person standpoint. Person standpoint is first and foremost in our minds at all times. But that's why in the days that we live in, when we have Ash Barty retiring at 25, when we have people taking second looks, sometimes that causes people to give pause to their life and maybe take a step back. And sometimes it causes people to double down and maybe rehab too hard or try to get yourself back a little bit too quickly. And all of a sudden it ends up being a bigger deal than it should be. That's why I think this team, they wouldn't get a win last night. A lot of people are saying, well, you basically have to win out the rest of the way, which is true. Let them burn. Let this team go. Let this team lose. Let these guys rest. You've been to the damn near the Western Conference Finals almost every year of your existence. That's a lot of extra hard-nosed hockey. The reclamation comes for everyone. It came for the Kings. It came for the Blackhawks. It came for the Red Wings. It came for the Penguins. It comes for everyone. It will come for the Tampa Bay Lightning. The legs will get tired. They will get heavy, and they will be harder to recover from all of those slashes and dashes that they take in front of the net. And so it's just whether or not you're lucky enough to be able to get one and take advantage of your opportunities when they present themselves to you before you potentially run into this roadblock. And last year was their big opportunity, just like in year one was their big opportunity. And I get worried that big-time goal that Foley put on this team and specifically William Karlsson, I want a Stanley Cup within the first 5-6 years. I don't know if we're going to hit it. We might have all these guys on the team, but, you know, Max Pacioretty at 35 is different than Max Pacioretty at 33. And it's not just because he's gotten older. It's just because you change, your game changes, the teams change, dynamics change. And so that's why that loss to Montreal last year hurt so badly. And the same to Dallas. You can't score goals. And so, again, I think it's a good thing if this team misses the playoffs this year. And it's mostly to do with healing up a lot of these names that we just got through talking about. We didn't even talk about Leonard. Don't even get me started on that.
I want to be honest with you. Obviously, in my life, this is the most I've paid attention to the NHL.
Yep, and it's going to grow exponentially.
Damn right. But the one thing that like baffles my mind, and I've asked you for weeks about Alec Martinez, and the seriousness that you're telling me and why I asked you, because I'm like, something's going on here.
Yeah.
But from the team perspective, day to day, that hasn't changed, and I don't understand
the
transparency not being there.
Well, that's the thing. They just need to say, is this a career concern injury or a year concern injury? Because day to day, you're right. Same thing, too, if we're talking about, like, nerve regeneration, if we're talking about if it's facial nerve or maybe worried about, like, his ability to blink, his ability, whatever. Like, that can be completely stagnant for a long time and then go really quickly. I don't think they want to make a ruling on him because they don't want to concern anyone. And I get why there's a level of secrecy when it comes to the NHL because it's a different sport where you can tee off on people in a much more minuscule and aimed way.
Yeah.
But there's room for improvement to get better so we can have a better understanding of exactly what's alien because it's concerning. And how many people are talking about Max, about Mark, about Alec, and in negative tongues. And they don't have to listen, like it can happen at all times, but that's just, I don't know why they're not at least a little bit more upfront and honest, but maybe it's the players themselves that they don't want that out there either. But regardless, we are in a very, very contentious situation here as Golden Knights fans because we have everything that we've ever wanted, except it's behind glass right now. And breaking the glass is kind of a one-time thing. And we've been for the last couple of years. And so whether or not we'll get to that promised land remains to be seen, but certainly going to be a lot tougher if you don't have your leading scorer, your captain, and your two-time Stanley Cup winning defenseman who makes everybody on the ice around him better at your disposal. Oh, yeah, and your goalie. But in terms of people that are performing at their highest level, right now, as we speak, the Isabel Cup is going down. Playoffs in the PHF. We're going to get a preview for you all and talk a little bit about my Minnesota Whitecaps. We'll be back. Love for the bet.
Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it low, girl.
Lindsey Brown and Adrian Hernandez, the Playmakers, exclusively on 1140 The Bet.
With all respect due to feminism and wartime efforts of past, Rosie the Riveter can suck it right now.
Yeah, Rosie.
Straight up, Rosie, I'm sorry. I gotta take a stance right now. I'm cheering for my team, the Minnesota Whitecaps, who have just taken their first lead of the game, entirely, 1-0 over the Metropolitan Riveters. Minnesota Whitecaps are the fifth seed in the Isabel Cup playoffs. Metropolitan Riveters are four. So you win, you keep going. You lose, I think you're done. So pretty good start so far for the old Whitecaps. Let's ride. Seriously, we're going to ride those waves. That's what we're going to do and roll with those Caps because I played for the Whitecaps before they joined the NWHL, which is now known as the PHF, but a lot of the people remain on the team, and a lot of people that I deeply care about back home are involved with this game. And just with women's hockey in general, it's really important for the Isabel Cup to take the step that it has this year,
100%.
Adrian, because not only is it not in a market in which any of the home teams are, it's in Florida. Like, they're looking to expand this brand to bring this into a more nationally focused product. And we know just how fervent that fan base has become down
Tampa
there.
Tampa is all in.
And so it's great to see. I think the ice arena itself, the logo, is unbelievable. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly encourage you to look it up online. I'm pretty sure it's like glow-in-the-dark paint, too, like when it's all blackout in the rink. So it's really cool stuff. But the Whitecaps, you know, they're usually pretty dominant, but they've had a really tough year this year, Adrian. Just like the last couple years, I would find it'd be really hard for anybody to play sports, let alone teams that don't have the everyday resources at their disposal, like the top pro leagues. But they're 6-13-1. That's why they're the fifth seed. That's why they're battling it and not dealing with a bye like the Toronto Six and I believe, not the Boston Pride, let me see, which other team is the top seed?
The Toronto Six.
The Toronto Six.
Is a lit name.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And their jerseys are absolutely fantastic as well. But in terms of what to expect this weekend, we'd had the prelim round going on right now, as I mentioned, Minnesota leading 1-0 over the Metropolitan Riveters. Earlier today, the Boston Pride beat the Buffalo Buttes, so I believe that they are done. But this weekend, all of this is available to watch on ESPN+. So if you're not doing anything, you know, besides listening to us, this is a great thing. You can turn it all the way down on your iPad or on your phone or on your TV and then still listen to us. But then on Sunday, we have the semifinal. So the lowest remaining seed versus the Connecticut Whale, who are the top seed. That was the team I was looking for. You want to talk about some sweet unis? These are the old throwback, like Hartford Whaler type unis.
I like
Whale.
It.
Yep. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday for the semifinals. And then on 4:30 Eastern time, the highest remaining seed will face off against the Toronto Six. And the Whitecaps, actually, when they were in that bubble in Lake Placid last year, like the last year and a half, they smoked the Six. But it was always, they had two games, I believe, and they were both really high scoring. And that's why when it comes to the tournament, regular season doesn't matter at this point. Like, a lot of these games have been pretty close to begin with. I've kept up with this team pretty closely all season. And it's they've had a couple of blowouts, but for the most part, because there's only six or seven teams in this, there's a lot of parity. There's a lot of really good talent. And so a lot of the games come down to the wire. And so after that, those semifinal games on Monday, this is where you get the big stuff here. Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, winner of semifinal one versus winner of semifinal two on ESPN2 and TSN2 for all of our friends up in Canada.
It's game time.
This is the first year that they've had it on ESPN, on ESPN Plus. I can't tell you how special it was the first weekend for me to be able to go on the app and just like literally scroll over. Oh, look, there's the logos that I know. And then like, oh, look, you want to watch some women's college hockey too? Like, when I was playing for the Whitecaps a few years ago, there wasn't a league. We were playing, you know, the University of Minnesota and then like the University of North Dakota and then like Shattuck for 3 weekends straight. Now we're on ESPN. Like, there's been tangible growth.
That's awesome.
And there's a lot of change still going on within the women's hockey side. There still needs to be a coming together between the PHF and the PHWA, which is mostly the national team, but the Dream Gap Tour. And we know that they met with the NHL earlier this week, but the NHL, I don't know why they're involved, other than maybe they see something that they would like to invest in now. But I'm very wary about the NHL's involvement for a lot of reasons, but for mostly because of the example that the WNBA has set, where if there's ownership on the men's side involved, a lot of times they don't take us seriously. Seems to be a shared theme across the world.
Yeah.
And so you're not in the imagination as a profit-driving thing, so I'm not going to even think about investing more than, like, the bare minimum. And why would you need another two people for social media? Why would you need two people for equipment management? What's so bad about this trainer? He seemed fine last year, even though we've had a bunch of complaints. Like, this is – you just get swept under the rug. And so with the WNBA, when we heard about, like, the plane thing with the New York Liberty –
yeah.
And how some owners were like, well, we don't want them to get used to it. That's the mindset that I worry about. Because let me tell you about, on the spectrum of progressivism, the NHL is a distant behind the NBA and ownership. I'm just going to say it's really the NHL in my mind. I'm going to get into this next week because I need to spend some time thinking about exactly what I want to say about this, because it's not like I'm not trying to burn bridges, but saying stuff like this will certainly not do me any favors.
Yeah.
But I don't think the NHL is really interested in expanding beyond what they are, because it perfectly serves the bubble of people that already inhibit it, which is a bunch of white guys that already have this. This is how we do business. This is how we play hockey. This is how we view how a player should talk, should act, how we should brand, how we should market. We don't need stats.
So kind of similar.
So why would I want to start my business with them? Why would I want to entrust you to be a partner in this?
Well, they can't even get trades right.
Exactly. They don't even have the registry to keep track of the trades. You guys are supposed to be the ones that have it all figured out. You guys have the nice logo. You guys have the millions of dollars. But guess what? Those millions of dollars go into the ownership's pockets instead of being invested back into the organizations themselves and say, hey, why don't we upgrade the email system? Hey, why don't we get everybody new iPads? Hey, like, it's stuff like that. None of that stuff has happened on the women's level. We are just starting to scratch the surface on all this stuff. And we will get to a point where, and I think it's a lot to do with gambling, we will get to a point where people will realize how much money we are leaving on the table with this stuff. And there's so many people that don't even realize how big of a fan they are of women's sports yet because they haven't been shown how to be invested in it in the same way that the men's team is. It's called add money to it. It's called add personality to it. All the personality shortages that the NHL has, we make up for it. And the women's side, let me tell you, women are non-binary, whatever. They don't have it. And the thing is, it's not just the league. It's the sports problem. Hockey tries to stamp out your personality from a very young age. We do that same thing to women and girls and to other people that don't want to adhere to the same social rules. If you make it this far and you've still managed to be loud and you've still managed to be proud and you still managed to rise above the occasion, then your personality is still intact. Then you're probably someone worth investing in because not only do you have a personality, you have a freaking story. And so with that, my latest invitation for the investment into women and specifically the PHF and the Isabella Cup tournament. Best of luck to the Whitecaps and literally nobody else. We'll be back on Monday. Be well to each other, but mostly yourselves. Use your blinkers because people are dying out here. But otherwise, just have a great weekend. Decompress, chill, and watch some sports or other things, whatever floats your boat. All right, see you guys Monday. Bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.